This is Robbie Dillmore from the Christian Car Guy and Kingdom Pursuit, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build a kingdom. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it and share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
This is the United States Champion.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Lithuania, he weighs 123 kilos, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Kolov.
Now, the Devil's Nightmare. Welcome back to another episode of It's Time to Man Up. Welcome back to another show, another time with the Russian Nightmare. Well, how come I always say that? The Devil's Nightmare, Nikita Kolov. Hey, I am thrilled to have on the show with me today this man who goes back. You want to talk about manning up? I mean, this guy has manned up. I think I'm accurate in saying this. A three-time cancer survivor. And we're going to find out if that's true in just a moment here. Chuck Coates. Chuck, welcome to It's Time to Man Up, the Man Up Show.
Nikita, I'm so excited about this. I was so good to see you last weekend and catch up a little bit. And I tell you, God's been so gracious and good to me, and I just love telling my story, and it's an opportunity to do that today.
Well, it is an opportunity. And in my introduction, Chuck, was I correct? Was I accurate? Three-time cancer survivor?
That is correct. You know, it's three times, 2006, 2012, and 2016. I tell you what, when I get to heaven, I'm going to shake Job's hand and give him a hug. He's he's my inspiration, man.
He's your hero, so to speak?
Oh, big time, big time.
Big time. Well, you know what? We're going to jump into that. Before we get to that, a little more details on that, for those out there in the listening audience, and by the way, the people who listen around the world, I mean, we've had 59-plus countries not only listen to the radio show and or podcast, and so your story is going to go worldwide today. But before we get there, give our listeners a little backdrop, a little backstory on Chuck Coates, and then we'll talk about your victory in overcoming cancer.
Well, Nikita, you know, I was a big wrestling fan early on in my younger days. My dad was a fan, so I got hooked when I was little, and we got to watch. I got good grades. I got to watch wrestling.
You got good grades. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you guys kept me A+. So, and I would go. I went to NC State University in Raleigh, and you know that's the Dorton Arena, stomping grounds for the NWA Jim Crockett promotion.
Oh, we were there.
We bought tickets in advance. We got ringside. Never, ever, ever sat anywhere but ringside. And during my college days, and I just got to the point. I thought, I've got to do this. I want to do this. And I'd always been told, if you have a dream, go for it. So, not that I recommend this, but me and a friend of mine quit college and went to Nelson Royal School in Mooresville and got some training. And long story short, the next thing I know, they're sending us to New York. And my second match ever on television, I was in the ring with Andre the Giant. So,
hold on now. You're giving a lot in a short period of time. Let's slow down there. Wow, that's all right.
Yep.
Let's go back first to the Dorton Arena, because you may or you may not know. A lot of the wrestling fans do know, some don't, but you know that's where I debuted, right? The Dorton Arena in Raleigh, and you know it is a crazy story for me. I mean, because you know, I didn't dream of being a pro wrestler, and I didn't quit college, Chuck. I actually graduated college, and then through a 5-minute phone call to Jim Crockett Jr., the promoter in Charlotte, North Carolina, through that conversation, I showed up at the office the day he said to be there, and the next thing you know, I'm standing before a camera, and you know, it with chains around my neck, and looking mean and menacing, and then
said, be in Raleigh tomorrow night, you're going to wrestle. So let me ask you a question. So did in those early days of getting good grades and rewarded by going to professional wrestling, did you ever see the Russian Nightmare in action in the ring in Dorton?
Absolutely. Against Nikita and Magnum in the chain match. Nikita and Dusty versus Ric Flair and Tully Blanchard. Actually had some photos of that in my scrapbook.
No way.
Yes, sir. And even on into the good guy, babyface days of Nikita. So from the red singlet to the black singlet. And, I mean, I saw it all, man.
Come on. Come on.
Yes, sir. You're one of the reasons, I mean this in a good way, that I wanted to excel and do this. And like I said, it was wrestling was just the biggest sport. It's football to me or anything else. It was something I just dreamed of doing and thankfully had the opportunity.
Okay, so you grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah, well, Durham, Raleigh, yeah, right, 30 minutes away, yeah.
Okay, Raleigh, Durham, and they call that the Triangle? Is that what they call that?
Yeah, yes.
So you grew up in the Triangle area and you were in college studying in college, but an avid wrestling fan, and you got a vision for you. You got a vision, got a picture, you might, as you said, a dream of becoming a pro wrestler. So you drop out of college, and for those who are in college, you can go either way on that, right? You can say, hey, if you have a dream, and I mean, for you, it turned out rather well. For some, maybe not so, but you drop out, and you threw a name out there, Nelson Royal.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of people may or may not know who Nelson Royal was, but in fact, he still has, I think, till to this day, and he's no longer with us. He's gone on to heaven to be with the Lord, but he's got a Western store there in Mooresville, North Carolina. I believe it's still there. Do you know?
I do believe his daughter is the owner. Yeah, took over. I think she's kept it going, far as I know.
Yeah, it's been there like 50 or 60 years, right? I mean, it's which is interesting, a Western store in North Carolina. Texas, I could picture that, but, you know, North Carolina, okay. Anyway, so and I knew he had a camp, and he was the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, so he had a history behind him and a history of success in wrestling and pretty big name in the Mid-Atlantic wrestling arena area. And so you went to his camp there. And I know any other guys that listeners might – names that they might recognize that you were in camp with at that time?
Well, I was a little bit younger than George South and Tommy Angel and some of the guys you wrestled. I was more most of my time was spent in WCW, and but they were finishing or just getting – they were still wrestling for Jim Crockett when I was starting. And so, you know, Gene Ligon was there helping train, and, of course, Gene Anderson was there and training. You know, Ricky Nelson was there, and David Isley. I know you know David well. And, you know, a lot of the guys, the enhancement guys that put you guys over, you know, the reason I bought tickets to see – live is because of the job they did to make this stuff, you know, go. I mean, it's a totally different world back then, you know. Wanted to be ringside. I mean, not everybody can go to the Charlotte Coliseum or the Greensboro Coliseum. When you go to the high schools and armories and all the places like that, I mean, that's where you get the crowd and the house shows, and that's what pushed to me. Those guys made me, you know, want to. I was willing to do whatever to get a chance, and so that's what I did.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and you named some names there. Again, for some, maybe not so recognizable, but they are to me, Chuck, because
right.
Because I became, you know, I got the privilege of stepping in the ring with, you mentioned some names, you know, Dusty Rhodes, Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Steamboat, Johnny Weaver, Black Jack Mulligan, Barry Windham, Tully Blanchard, who we've had on the show before, and of course, Sting, Lex Luger. I mean, the list goes on. But what I want people to understand today, even in hearing some of you know, the early part of your story, is that Nikita Koloff was successful because of many of those names you mentioned. Not so much the names I mentioned. Now, I'm grateful to have stepped in the ring with Ric Flair, and I say he can make a broomstick look good because he made Nikita Koloff look good.
Yeah.
But for the record, it was because of guys like you mentioned, Gene Ligon, Ricky Nelson, Tommy Angel, Chuck Coates, and others, because you guys went in the ring on television with us and made guys like me look really, really good, that then in turn put me in main event matches against guys like I mentioned, the big name guys as well. And so, you know, you guys really are the gold standard of that day of professional wrestling. I just want you to hear that from me and to know that.
Well, you know, I hear a lot about over the years, you know, well, hey, you almost made it. Well, I did make it.
Right.
I was on the big stage as well. I just might not have been a starter. You know, every good football team has backup players.
Right.
And that's the way I look at it, you know.
Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com because you are number one.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries, for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net and donate today.
Well, not only that. I mean, yeah, you said okay. So let's talk for a minute. You said you're in New York and you're wrestling Andre the Giant. So you go to Nelson's camp. You break into wrestling. You're shipped off to New York and you stand in the ring with Andre the Giant. What was that? Tell our listeners what that experience was like, because I was never in the ring with Andre.
Nikita, if I didn't have it on YouTube, I wouldn't believe it myself.
We trained,
you know, we worked with him, and Vince said he needed new faces. He'd been using the same guys, and in wrestling, you know, back then they taped everything, and they wanted the variety. So Nelson said, I'm sending 8 or 10 of you guys up, and you think you're ready? And I said, well, Nelson, I've been ready, you know, and he put us in, and we flew out of Charlotte, and like I said, back then, you know, we, with the TV, you know, you guys, with the TVs then, you know, you wrestled guys like us, but we didn't know. We get there at, 1 o'clock, and we eat, and you know, about 3 or 4 o'clock, they take the chalkboard out. Remember that, Nikita?
Yeah.
They're writing the names, and it says Paul Roma and Chuck Coates. So right there, I'm excited. I'm tagging with Paul Roma versus Haku and Andre the Giant. And so I'm like, did I just read that correctly? So funny story about that. Andre was playing cards that day, and Haku went over some stuff with me. He said, now listen, don't bother Andre while he's playing cards. I said, okay. So I thought maybe he'll get with me about 5 o'clock, 5:30. Well, show starts at 7, and we're third match. I hadn't heard from Andre, so I'm standing at the curtain, the gorilla position, if you will. Here comes Andre. Where is he? And he taps me on the back. Haku says, there's Andre. He says, I give you a headbutt, you don't go down. And I was like, yes, sir. I was scared to death. I thought, if I go out there and mess up, he's going to kill me. So
he's a big man. He was a man, 7'4", 550 pounds, for those who don't know. Keep going.
That's all he said. That's all he said. And their finish was Haku would grab you. He holds you. Andre would grab you and hold you, give you a headbutt. Haku would do a spot kick to your face. You fall. Andre drops the elbow. And thankfully, I'd watched it enough on television where he didn't have to tell me that. But I wanted to hear it from him, make sure he didn't change anything. And then after the match, he shook my hand with those giant hands and said, thank you. And that was my experience with Andre the Giant.
Wow, that's a great story. Of course, I've never heard it before, and I know the listeners are going to love it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So Andre the Giant. So who were some of the other names, Chuck, that you know, or maybe some matches that are memorable beyond, you know, that introduction right there that would then follow?
Well, you know, if you remember, I know you will, at the end, right there at the end of the Jim Crockett days, the Russian Assassins made an appearance, correct?
Right.
Well, a lot of the indie promotions would take a run off of that and, you know, use the Russian Assassins. Well, I've seen Russians that were 110 pounds soaking wet, and I've seen Russians that looked Russian. And so I was told by a group that I did a great Nikita Koloff, ironically, and I need you to get a Russian outfit, and we're going to make you the Russian. So anyway, I did that, and I was about 260 pounds, and I was fairly built. And I did a lot of the independent shows as a Russian, and Russian Assassin. I would work with Ivan. I'd work, matter of fact, I wrestled G190 in Front Royal, Virginia for Bobby Fulton. And I don't know if you remember that, but it was about 2,000 people there. And you hit me with a Russian sickle, and that was the end of that.
I was going to ask you. I kind of remembered that, but I just wanted to see if you remember. Many say, how could you forget it? But anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and so I wrestled Nikita. I wrestled Ivan, which that right there is worth everything to me. On into WCW, I was Stone Cold Stunning Steve Austin's first TV match out of Texas. So it's on YouTube. Steve Austin's first WCW match, if you want to watch me get beat by Steve Austin.
Come on.
Yeah, you were there at the time, Nikita. We actually traveled some together to the TVs. They brought you back in with Lex, if you remember, and you destroyed the United States belt. I dare you. And that was then. And then, of course, I went on to wrestle Sting and Luger and Mike Rotundo and some of the newer guys. You know, Johnny B. Badd, which Mark Merrow. I was there the night he got his break in Asheville. And it goes on and on. Thankfully, Jody liked me. I didn't wrestle Vader because I was always worried about that.
which you should have been, just for the record, because I did suffer with. That's amazing. You know, you're throwing some phenomenal names out there. And how many years, Chuck, did you end up wrestling then?
I wrestled right at 20, from 2000 and actually 1986. I got to the ring for the first time, which I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't even trained. But after Nelson's stint, it was more like a 19-year run, and 2006 was my – well, I take it back. 2006 was my last match I did full-time or on a regular basis.
Okay,
right? Okay. I've had one match since I got sick. It was a charity event, and they put me in with Hacksaw Jim Duggan because Hacksaw I told him, I said, I don't want to get hurt. I'm getting older. And I said, I've done one since then. That was 2013.
Okay.
So basically about a 19, 20-year run.
Okay.
From TV to indies to, you know.
I got you.
A bag full of gimmicks, brother. They just said, bring your bag, and I had whatever they needed.
Well, you excelled, and your dream was fulfilled, and you excelled. And so you mentioned 2006, and if I – was paying attention. That was when you were the first time cancer was detected.
Yes, I this is something else that'll probably a light bulb will come on for you. I was told I was supposed to wrestle in Galax, Virginia. I was wrestling Lex Luger as the Russian, and I had to get a physical because you know in Virginia you had to have that updated license.
Right.
And I thought, okay, whatever, and I went and got it. I remember the doctor said, everything looks great. He said, you got a spot in your neck. We need to get it checked out. Get a specialist. So I didn't think much about it. So I guess 8-9 weeks went by. I went and did the show. Didn't, you know, no problems. They gave me my license and all that. 8-9 weeks later, decided to make the appointment, got it checked, and they did a check on it and, said we need to run another test. So 2 weeks later, I came back. And he said, we can't get enough. He wouldn't tell me what was going on. He just kind of said, there's some things we're looking at. So he scheduled surgery to take out lymph nodes. And so once they did that, all this took place within like a six-week period. And they never would mention cancer because I kind of wondered. I guess they wanted to make sure. But then I found out in 2006 I was diagnosed, and you probably, the only time I'd ever heard it was with your situation was with Hodgkin's lymphoma. So that was my diagnosis, and the first thing I thought about was you in 1987 or 88, I believe, and what you went through.
Right.
So we went up to bat, and we did chemotherapy. We did radiation in 2006, all this from September to February of 2007, and then the Lord graciously decided to keep me around. So in 2007, in February, I was declared cancer-free. That was the first go-round.
Okay. And then forward to what, 2012?
2012. They had said, actually, that they had, once you're passed in lymphoma, the 90% chance once they get in remission, it never comes back.
Okay.
Well, I was part of the 10%. So in 2012, I had some pain in my side on my back at Thanksgiving, I remember. And I thought, if you remember that game, Wii Golf, you know, I have foster kids, so I was – playing golf. We golfed with them, and you know, probably got a little bit addicted to that. It was fun. I thought I had pulled a muscle. So my wife, being a registered nurse, said, no, we're going to get that checked out. So I was trying to, I guess, in my own mind, you know, I was set. It was a pulled muscle. It was getting better on its own, but it didn't get better. So my primary care sent me to a specialist once again, and the lymph nodes, my pancreas had lymph nodes swollen against them. That's causing the pain.
Okay.
And they scheduled, they diagnosed me once again with lymphoma, and the doctors, he said, this is very unusual, 6 years out in remission and for this stuff to return, but we're going to have to do a bone marrow transplant. So in 2012, Nikita, I got a bone marrow transplant at Duke University, and that's what propelled me to move back home. I wanted to be close to Duke, my hometown, and you know, Duke speaks for itself as far as medicine, and we got that taken. That took place in the latter part, the fall of 2012, and successful transplant. Everything went as planned, and
okay.
They once again, the Lord had spared me, and I was cancer free, and here we go.
2016.
Now, give me to roll into the next one.
Yeah, 2016. Then comes back third time.
2016. Boom. Here we go again. I had more issues with just the inner, just didn't feel right. And I was tired and fatigued. And my wife, being a nurse, is really good because she could kind of monitor and keep an eye on me, and she knew what she was looking for. And immediately this time, you know, three times, she's like, we're going right now. So, boom, we go this time, and this is where really God showed out, because cancer's back, 2016. They're going to have to do a transplant once again, this time, with a donor. First transplant didn't require a donor. So without getting into medical terminology, they looked the registry over, bone marrow donors, bone marrow worldwide, 10 million people, not one perfect match, not one match. So they said, well, we're doing this experiment. Duke's in this middle of a study, and they're doing half-match siblings. So my brother was only a 50% match. I checked him first. And if you won't be willing to enter this study, we'll be glad to give it a shot and see. And, you know, and basically 50-50 is what I was told, because they weren't quite sure if it was where they wanted to be with that yet.
Right.
So, of course,
right.
I did. Three times, you're running out of options. So he donated bone marrow as a 50% sibling, and the Lord just graciously took it. Everything went as planned. The healing process, the situation with everything was like, compared to what they expected, it's just only God could do this, because I was within 100 days back out of you know, that quarantine back then for that, because I couldn't be around people with my immune system and all. So they sent me back home, told me to go ahead and, you know, start getting checkups, and next thing I know, this thing took and all the numbers were just, it was like, you have to live it to understand where I'm coming from.
I understand. God, yeah.
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 And I remember saying, Lord, I've been a Christian for a while. I've trusted you, but Lord, I remember for the first time saying, God, this is my third time. I finally fully submit to you. And that's the time, Nikita, that I have given him everything. And I mean this, I got my church, going to church,
right.
Being a witness, doing stuff like this where he gets the glory. I prayed this morning. I said, no matter what happens, Lord, I want you to get the glory. Somebody will hear this today, and they'll need to hear it. And God, you put people in their paths for a reason. And I just totally said, Lord, if I get through this, if I can, if you know, you control the light switch, if you will. You know, it's on or it's off. And if you allow me to get through this, Lord, I'm going to give you everything I've got the rest of my life. And I've meant that. Do I fail at times? Yes, but overall, it's just been absolutely amazing what he's done
right.
In my personal life. And,
right.
He's opened doors, Nikita. I'm able to speak at churches, to meetings like with recovering drug addicts. About once a month I'll get a call, hey, are you available? And I'm able to share the same thing I'm sharing with you, Nikita, about how God has just, you know, the purpose. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody
right.
is here. We're not accidents.
Right.
And although I might not be a preacher yet, I'm here to do something for God. And so here we are in 2021, and I'm out, been in remission this time. Let's see, April 1st, Nikita, next year will be 6 years. And so I'm just going to you know, if I live the rest of the day, I'm going to serve him. If I die this evening, I'm going to serve him. I've given him everything. He's given me everything. And
yeah.
I can honestly say I fully, 100% trust his judgment, his decisions, because he knows everything.
Well,
and I could not be here without him. And that's obvious what I just told you.
Yep. No, absolutely. And we're almost out of time, believe it or not. And I was going to ask, you know, what, you know, for those out there maybe struggling physically or struggling in other ways, you know, whether mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I mean, I was going to ask you what you might say or recommend, but you already did. I mean, you just said it. I think the key to what you just said, I mean, you know, as a three-time cancer survivor, you know, being fully submitted and fully yielded to the Lord, no matter what we're going through. So for those maybe out there listening, whether it's cancer or some other, you know, physical addiction, you know, drugs, alcohol, you're struggling with anxiety, depression, you know, whatever the case may be, as you hear Chuck's story, and for me, Chuck, just a story of incredible inspiration and perseverance. And I would summarize it to say, you know, to everyone listening, fully submitted. In fact, I minister a message, you know, called Counting the Cost, and challenging people, are they fully committed? And now, through your own testimony, fully submitted. And so we, what an incredible story, and I'm so grateful to have you on the show today. And I guess we're going to have you back sometime, because you mentioned – you made mention of foster care, and next time maybe you'd love to hear more about that, you and your bride. And by the way, Chuck, it sounds like the Lord brought the right woman into your life too, a nurse of all things. So talk about seeing the hand of God work in your life, and I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today.
Yeah, well, I've been a blessing to be here, and it's been a blessing to share what God's done. And like Nikita said, you're here for a reason, folks. God's got a purpose for you. He doesn't make mistakes. He never has, never will. And whatever you're going through, trust him. I promise you, you won't regret it.
Well, that's a great word. Hey, thank you for tuning in to It's Time to Man Up. Chuck Coates, amazing wrestling career, three-time cancer survivor. I hope you were blessed by his story today. Tune in again for another show with the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Koloff.
All feet agree, Clemens Carpet is where you need to be. With carpet, vinyl, tile, and hardwood from the top brands, Clemens Carpet does it right from beginning to install. Voted number one by you in the Reader's Choice Awards. Doug, Chad, Benny, Pee-wee, and the team at Clemens Carpet look forward to seeing and serving you soon.
This is Nikita Koloff, and I want to thank Clemens Carpet for supporting my new show, Man Up, Saturday afternoon at 12:30 on the Truth Network.
This is the Truth Network.